Well, tonight we're going to look at a more practical message. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I was going to preach this last Sunday night, and then Mike Van Horn was available. So I thought to just bring this tonight, although Revival Sunday has passed. But let me say this to you tonight. It's been wonderful to be under the Word of God. It's been wonderful to be able to hear the Word of God, to be able to be encouraged by the Word of God, and revived, refreshed, renewed. However, there must be a very careful attention, to hold those things which God has spoken to our heart about. There must be, unless we let them slip. We don't want to go up and down. So we want to have a daily revival in our lives, and so there are some daily things that we must do. All right, so turn to Luke chapter 9 and have a look at verse 23. And the Bible says, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him," what's that word? "Deny himself. Take up his cross," how often? "Daily, and follow me. For whatsoever will save his life shall lose it. And whatsoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels." So we see, as we approach this verse, there is a daily attendance to some things. And first of all, I want you to bring your attention to a daily denial, okay? A daily denial. "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him," what is it? "Deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." What does it mean to deny self? What does it mean to deny oneself? Okay, to put God first. What else? Sorry? Humble. Yeah, to be humble. Yeah, more practical sense.
Set aside your desires and preferences.
Okay, to set aside my desires and preferences. Yep. To deny my desires. Yep. Having the Lord's desires first requires humility. It's to be utterly disowning one's self. And that goes to the person's, as mentioned, desires. Denying my own life. Denying what I want to do. As a matter of fact, Titus says Paul speaking to Titus, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So to deny oneself is to deny everything that is against God's, listen, will. Everything that's against God's ways, his will, and it needs to be daily. A daily denial is a daily revival. Think about that. I mean, that will transform your life. If every day you wake up and you say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." In every area, every decision, everything that we think about doing, everything has to be in line with the fact that God wants this for me, and I know it. And I deny myself and I carry that cross and I follow Christ to do the very things that he would have me to do. Second of all, not only a daily denial, we're going to come back to the end of to the conclusion of this, what Paul really meant as well when Paul states similar situation as the Lord. But notice, second of all, a daily declaration. Daily declarations, vows, promises. The psalmist says this, "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may," what's that word? "Daily perform my vows." These are commitments. These are vowed responsibilities. These are things that I've taken on board. When we think about it, responsibility as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a wife, when you think about responsibility as my work, my responsibility as a preacher, pastor, as whatever calling that God has called us within the body of Christ. What is my commitment? What is my responsibility? I think about the responsibility of everything I am supposed to be as a Christian. Everything I'm supposed to be as a Christian. Because, you know, remember, we're Christians first. Amen? And everything after that follows. We're Christians first. The Bible says in Proverbs that most men proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And so here the psalmist says, I will perform daily my vows, my commitments. You know, Solomon goes to the extent to say, don't vow a vow if you're not going to keep it. Don't make commitments unto the Lord if you're not going to keep it. Very important that we realize we have daily responsibilities, commitments, and promises that we must fulfill, and we need to keep to those commitments. Because you know what happens when we fail? We're down in the dumps. We're not revived. We feel like a failure. We feel like we haven't, and we should feel like we haven't fulfilled our responsibilities that God has given to us. And so, but when we fulfill those responsibilities, guess what? There's nothing better than to know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. What's the other side? What's the other flip side? Laziness, selfishness, doing what you want to do. We deserve it, right? We deserve to have a bit of lazy time, not on the expense of our responsibilities. Rest time is good, but when we're constantly doing trivial things and things that just take our time, the Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. And then thirdly, this is perhaps one of the big ones as well, daily devotions. And first of all, searching the scriptures daily is what the Bereans did. Have a look at Acts chapter 17, verse 10. And the Bible says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night under Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. In verse 11, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures when? Daily. Whether those things were so. They were in the scriptures, studying the scriptures. And by the way, we have so much distorted view of doctrinal things today that it would be good that we'd be students of the Bible to take our time and study these things in the midst of a warped Christendom. Seriously. What better way than to spend your time in the Word of God? Studying the Word of God, hearing messages. Having a look at different commentaries and different books and just being able to search the scriptures. Why? Because there's an outcome, there's a readiness there for us to say, you know what, I am willing to do whatever I learn from the scriptures every day. You know, sometimes not studying something out is almost like a cop-out. We get confused by distorted views and doctrines and we come to ourselves and say, oh, it's just too hard, forget about it. Well, God wants us to study diligently, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be Bible students, amen? How often? Daily. If necessary. Daily in the word. And not only daily in the Word to discover doctrine, but also for wisdom, seeking spiritual wisdom daily. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Have a look at verse 32. Verse 32 in Proverbs chapter 8. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching, how often? Daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all that hate me love death. You won't be revived, you'll stay dead. I tell you, your attitude toward the Word of God, whether you resist the Word of God, you resist the teaching and the instruction, or whether you respond to the Word of God, is going to make a difference every day to your condition. You're either going to be revived or you're going to be dead. You're going to have living with hope, your heart's going to be lifted up, or you're going to be down, dead. Our attention to the Word of God, seeking God's wisdom, you know, sometimes, or I could say many a times, you know why we get in trouble? We don't seek the wisdom of God. How many times we make decisions without consulting the Word? How many times we make decisions without applying James, that whoever lacks wisdom, let him seek him by faith. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and he'll give you liberally. But we have not because we ask not. And the Bible says that we ought to seek wisdom daily, waiting for God to speak to us. We're accustomed at times to be so independent outside of God's Word. And little by little, every time we don't bring the wisdom of God in our life, we're not attentive to the Word of God, we're not going to prosper the way God will have us to prosper. You know, when you look at the Scriptures, God is not a respecter of persons. Not at all. God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he will reap. And it's imperative for us all daily seeking the wisdom of God, knowing what God wants, and then applying our lives to the very thing that God reveals to us through His Word, through prayer, by His Spirit. These are a number of ways that God reveals His wisdom to us. We have the preaching of the Word of God. We have the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We have prayer. Three ways in which God reveals His wisdom to us. And it will do us good every day to hearken to the voice of the Spirit of God and hearken to the preaching of the Word of God and hearken, if you will, to attend to those things that God convicts us about and reveals to us. This leads to true prosperity, by the way. True revival. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. You know it, it's common, but it's good to refer to it. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, how often? Day and night. What happens when a person meditates on the Word of God day and night, daily? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Shall prosper. That's a revived life. Fruitful life. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's talking about a fixed life, unmovable. Oh, what a way to be planted, right there where the water supply is, amen? That bringeth forth his fruit in his season, fruitful at the right season. And by the way, that takes time, amen? Waiting for fruit to come in God's time. Not in our time. We tend to want things to happen at our time, but God is wanting to do things in his time. His leaf also shall not wither. It's forever. Forever. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Flourishes. Flourishes. Fruitful. That's a revived life. That's a revived life. So what do we have? A daily denial. Daily declarations or vows, promises, daily devotions. And then we have a daily dependence. Luke 11 verse 3 in the Lord's Prayer for us, pattern prayer, he says, give us day by day our daily bread. It's talking about dependence upon God for his provision for us. Once again, we have to be honest. Because we live in such a country that we have abundance, we do not lack whatsoever. It is a snare to our soul. It is. I mean, you go to third world countries and you see that they're more inclined to be dependent upon God for provision. But there's a principle here. God wants us to be dependent upon him in every area of our lives. Every area. And there's a reason why Jesus started off his ministry, his public ministry, and fasted 40 days. Not only to be an example to us, but to show us what kind of example. That no man lives on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was showing that we ought to be dependent upon God. Not just on our provision, but upon God. As a matter of fact, the psalmist cries out, and David cries out in Psalm 86. You want to turn quickly there. We're in Psalms already, Psalm 86. Have a look at verse 1. We'll continue to go on a slow pace, and I'll do some preaching right as I close. Psalm 86, and have a look at verse 1. He says, bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. This is King David, remember? Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee, how often? Daily. Daily. How often do you cry out to the Lord? We must cry out daily. You know, when we roll out of bed, we should just get on our knees straight away. And if at that moment it will be just a cry out saying, Lord, I'm so dependent upon you today. Help me. And after you wake up a little while, you can sit and give time and attendance to the things of the Lord. It's a sweet time when you start your day depending upon the Lord. And if you start your day in a very rushed way and you're not depending upon the Lord and you're just in a hurry doing things, the littlest things can frustrate you throughout the day. And you wonder, why am I frustrated? Because we're utterly dependent upon self. And God allows us to get a little frustrated so we can see that we can't even do the littlest things without him. I don't want to get into it, but the Lord, many, many years ago, taught me the greatest lesson. And the greatest lesson, I can't give the story now because it's too long, but the greatest lesson that he ever taught me, saying, Charlie, you cannot function without my grace. You can't speak, you can't pass out a tract, you can't do anything without me. And from there, that trial of life helped me to be utterly dependent upon God, that I won't even leave my house without praying for God's protection, provision, and claiming his promises. And if I do, oh, it's miserable. You know, the worst thing that ever happens to a Christian, that you are left to yourself and that you are living day by day without acknowledging the presence of God in your life. Over here, the psalmist David cries out daily unto the Lord, cries out. Now, I want to give you several prayers we can pray for to have a daily revival in our hearts as we're dependent upon God in these areas. And they're there to help us think from day to day upon these things. Number one, a revealed heart. The question will be asked is, would we allow God to work in our hearts to the point of even getting down to the secret sins of our lives? Because we do have blind spots in our lives, and how desperately do we want to be in the way of the Lord? David cries out and he says, "Search him." Does he say that? No. You know why we're so busy? We're too busy. Oftentimes it's because we're not looking within us. And you know why sometimes we're just dead and we're not living? Because we're not looking within us. We're always looking at other people. And our prayers are directed to them, seeing the flaws of people and seeing the hurts that people cause to us. When God says, maybe someone's praying about you, because you've got some sins in your life that you need to take care of, the blind spots in your... And thank God for grace, amen, when people overlook those flaws in our lives and they give us room to grow. I thank God for that. But how many times do we harbor things in our heart? We're going to get there in a moment, but we're going to say, Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Now, so many times we think of just silly things that really put us down, weigh us down, rob us from our joy, rob us from victory, rob us from a revival every day being revived. And I'm not saying we ought to fabricate it. I'm talking about real revival in our hearts every day. When we're saying, Lord, I just want to make sure that there's nothing between us. I want to make sure that I'm clear. I mean, sensitive to the Spirit of God, sensitive to the Savior is a special thing. By the way, help your fellowship with the Lord. And here David says, search me. God, help me to be sick of sin in my life. Why? Because sin hinders the presence of God. Number two, good daily prayer to pray is a responsive heart. Would we allow God to break our stubbornness, hardness of heart in our lives toward others? Hosea 10 verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You know, as children of God, we can be so stubborn sometimes. I said we can be so stubborn sometimes. We can hold grudges in our hearts. We can harbor bitterness. Guess who we're hurting when we do that? Ourselves and others. It defiles many. And we can no doubt hinder a reviving work in God's in our heart, what God wants to do. Number three, a restored heart. Would we allow God to show me of any relationship that needs to be restored? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. How important that is. How important is to have, to do all that you can to reconcile relationships that have been broken before coming before the Lord and offering thy gift. And then praying for a united heart. Would we continue to allow God to work in our hearts for unity in the church, unity in our families? I like what the psalmist says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. It is pleasant. Amen. I don't think there's anything more pleasant than to have unity amongst God's people. If there's one thing that grieves my heart, because I know it grieves God's heart, it's discord among the brethren. Oh, it breaks your heart. But there's one thing that does please my heart, and I know it pleases God's heart from this verse, seeing God's people get along together. What a blessing that is. And we need to pray every day. God, remember what we spoke about this morning? I sure don't want to be the cause of causing disunity in my family or in my church. I sure don't want to be the one accused by God of sowing discord. I sure want to pray and say, dear God, fear and trembling, unite my heart. Help me have a spirit of unity. Remember what Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Yes.
And then number five, a compassionate heart. Would we allow God to work in our hearts, to give us a heart of compassion and a passion for souls, a heart of God? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, that's Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When I think about having the heart of Christ, Paul the Apostle comes directly to my mind. To utter words in Romans chapter 2, he says this, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Think about that. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. In chapter 10, he says, my heart's desire is that Israel be saved. What a desire to have, a compassion, broken heart. Says, I'd be cursed from Christ. I'll be willing to go to hell for the sake of Israel. Think about that. Only God can help you utter those words. There are foreign words to the human lips. How do you get that? Daily denial, getting in the presence of God in a very special way, being saturated in your devotional time, allowing the Word of God to affect my life, being faithful and committed to the work of God in our lives, having a restored heart, a renewed heart, is the next one. Number six, would you allow God to renew your heart to hunger and thirst after Him and His Word? In Psalm 42, verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? You know, what caused the psalmist to utter these words was no doubt trials in his life. You know, trials ought to drive us to God, not away from God. And so God sometimes wants to renew our heart through the trials of life. Help us get a hunger and thirst after him. And then number seven, a growing heart. Would we allow God to give us a growing love for him, a growing love for the Lord? Joshua 23, verse 11, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. This was in the midst of battle. This is in the midst of again, fighting, if you will. Enemy always trying to pursue you. Draw you away from the love of God, but we ought not to. We ought not to grow callous. Our love ought not to fail. I think that's the hardest thing in ministry, when you're ministering, when you're in the ministry, when you're sold out, when you're surrendered, that somewhere along the lines you can have like the heart of the Church of Ephesus, grow cold. And the coldness there that was growing was for God. If anything is going to revive us, every day is the love of God shot abroad in our hearts. Go to Jude quickly. Turn your Bibles to Jude. Have a look at verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I can't stress this one enough. We want to be refreshed. We want to have a daily revival. It only comes from a heart that is after God and keeping ourselves in the love of God. And then we see number five, not only a daily dependence, but notice lastly, daily dying. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. As I mentioned this morning, Paul is talking about the Corinthians being influenced by false doctrine, talking about how some have said the resurrection has passed, or there is no resurrection that's going to take place, and Paul is absolutely pleading and sharing his heart with the church at Corinth regarding this truth of the gospel that there is a resurrection. And he says in verse 30, "And why stand we in jeopardy every hour if there's no resurrection?" That's basically what he's saying. He says this, "I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." And I want you to think about this life that he lived. That his life was practically every day almost under threat. Pursued. Persecuted. Health problems. He had health problems. Trials. Temptations in his life. Man, he was a dead man walking in reality. He says, "I die daily." His life was... He realized his life wasn't his own. And in verse 32, "And if after that the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead not rise? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die." I just love that passage. Because that's in our Christendom today, whether you like it or not, this statement. Up to you. But it's reality. As a matter of fact, the Bible prophesies it. And an apathy that we're living today, that's your common Christian living. Eat, drink, tomorrow dead. With no purpose, no dying daily, no denying self, just going through the motions. Dead, asleep. How many times, even in the back at Paul's time, he says to the Romans, "Awake, rise," to the Ephesians, "Awake, rise," to the Corinthians, "Awake, rise." We're going to see that in a moment. It says in verse 33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." The reason why people want to undermine the resurrection, I'll tell you why, because the resurrection typifies or pictures a new life in Christ, a new creature. It means if there's going to be a resurrection, I'm not going to live for the here and now. I'm living for eternity, my friend. I'm living with that in view, like the Old Testament saints did. In Hebrews 11, they testify that that's what their vision was. It was eternity, and therefore they denied what they wanted to do every day. And over here, he says, look, no resurrection. We might as well just go banqueting every day. Eat, drink, be merry. With no cause. With no purpose. But he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners, and it certainly does. The last thing I need is someone to say to me, you know, it's okay, man, don't worry, you don't have to, it's all good, just, you know. No, please, I need to be challenged, I need to be exhorted, the day of Christ is coming, I need to be reminded every day, I need to listen to sermons every day, and by the way, be a help to you, if you're driving along, going places, plug those things, listen to sermons, listen to something that's going to edify you and help you continue to live a dying life, it's going to help you. You can't get enough of the Word of God in you throughout the week. It's going to help you to no end. It's going to encourage you. By the way, you won't feel like a weirdo. You'll feel normal Christian. You know, sometimes you're out of the Word. You're not really hearing the Word of God. And you go out trying to live the Christian life. You feel out of place. In a sense, because people out there, they tell you, you're wasting your time, mate. You know how many scoffers and mockers in your day when you go out and hear those people? And they laugh at you. You're wasting your time. And they're there having a good time and they're partying and all the rest of it. Every night when we go out, every night, I almost hear it one time. And I thank God for the comforting Spirit of God that says, Charlie, it's not your home. Yeah, when I buried my mum, put her 6 foot under, saw her body, go in that ground, that was a sobering thing. It went in that ground. I thought to myself, man, my mum's body's going to go in that ground. And the Spirit of God says, she's not in there, Charlie. She's with me. Yeah. What a comfort that brought. and believing in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, man, that helps you just say, you know what, I want to die daily. But have a look, verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And that's a shame. No matter how many times you preach, no matter how many times you pour your heart, no matter how many times you try, there's always going to be some Corinthian attitude that just won't understand it. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28, right on the bottom of the list, Paul the Apostle says, after I've gone through all that I've gone through, I have hungered, I'm naked, in perils, danger, their own countrymen are after me, false brethren are after me, man, I'm dying here. But you know what he had daily on his mind? Look at this. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You know what he was thinking about? The people within those churches, the struggles that they go through, he was thinking about. That's supernatural. That is absolutely amazingly out of this world. You say, how do you get it? Dying daily. And all those prayers that we say we want to pray for, praying for those prayers, being dependent upon God, being devoted to God and his word, denying self. You know, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. A daily dying. A daily dying. Now, in closing, I just want to add just a few things that we can be a people that have a strong desire for this. A strong desire to be in the presence of God, a strong desire to die daily, a strong desire to do all that which God has caused us to do. But everything that we do can just be, in the eyes of God, vain if we do it with a wrong heart. You say, are you able to? Absolutely. Have a look, and we're going to close with this passage, Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. You say, tonight, how do I know God's got a hold of my heart? When you find it difficult a little bit to breathe. How do you know that God's got my attention? I'm serious about this, when no little thing can distract you. Well, you feel like you're just, man, God is dealing with me. How do you know God's got a hold of my heart? Because, Lord, I just want to be all that I've heard today, tonight. I'm not going to justify it. I'm not going to brush it off. I'm not going to just forget about it. I want to remember it. And, Lord, surely I want to do it. But in that great desire lies a motive that needs to be pure. And I mean pure and genuine. Have a look at verse 1. God calls the prophet to cry out loud, spare not. He says, don't hold back. Cry out loud. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, not like a flute, like a trumpet. Blow and cry out loud and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. What was it? The sin of hypocrisy. If there was a sin that Jesus absolutely despised and rebuke publicly, it was the sin of hypocrisy in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And verse 2, he says this, look at this, look at this. This is the condition of Israel as a nation, or the house of Judah in particular. He says, yet they seek me how often? How often? Daily. And delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. What a great desire. It's good. Wherefore, This is them speaking now. Have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. So here we have a people that were doing things that God, they were trying to get the attention of God. See, God, don't you see what we're doing? God, don't you pay attention to what we're doing? Don't you watch? Don't you listen to us? Don't you hear? Can't you see what we're doing? But notice what God says to them. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite thee with the fist of wickedness. So in other words, they were doing things with the wrong motive. They weren't really doing things to please God. They weren't really doing things to bring glory to God. They didn't really want this close relationship with God. To them, their activity was a mean to an end. See, God, we've done it. Now hearken to us. See, God, we're doing what you're telling us to do. That's a bad attitude. And in all the while, oppressing the poor, and all the while, casting out those that are helpless and hopeless. Have a look. And ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? What is it? What's acceptable? To loose the bands of wickedness? Remember, when we come to the Lord, he wants an acceptable sacrifice. Amen. Acceptable. To undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. He says, you know, there's a purpose, and that ye break every yoke. So what was going on here? All they were doing is thinking about themselves. That's all. Pride. Self-righteous. Yes. It was all for self. To be in the presence of God, to go about doing their religious rituals, going through the motions, so to speak. Listen, no connection with God. No connection with God. And we have a prophet here rebuking them for it. The sin of hypocrisy. May God deliver us from. Amen. Every day we say, dear God, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be genuine. Like we heard in the church at Philippi, sincere, blameless, to the day of Christ. To the day of Christ. Dear God, I want to come before you and I want to be pure and genuine. Please, I just want to bring glory to you. I teach me your ways. And he will. I want to pray right, fast right, serve right. I want to do it all for the right motives, dear God. Amen. He says in verse 8, you do it. Well, you do it right. He says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy what? Wow. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Wouldn't that be good? What a relationship we can... And you know, God promised that relationship to his disciples. He promised an intimate relationship. Whatsoever you ask in my name. Man, to have your heart knit together with God's heart and God being pleased, like we heard this morning, being pleased with your walk, with your step. We're not talking about perfection here. Please, church, be mature enough to understand that God is looking for a broken heart, a contrite heart, a broken spirit. God will not despise. That's all he's looking. If someone every day will come and be broken before him. I don't dot my I's and cross my T's like I should, Lord. And I know that you help me with those things. But Lord, I just want to be broken before you every day. And I want you to search my heart. I want you to try my thoughts. I don't want to be a hypocrite, dear God. I don't want to live a double life. Oh, dear God, I want to live a life that brings glory to you. I want to be pure. I want to be genuine. I want to be broken. Lord, lead me to that way. Lead me to the way of everlasting. And he will. And it's an absolute process, beloved. It's not going to happen overnight. It is in the process that God works in your heart, gets you ready and prepares you for heaven, prepares you for glory. It's a wonderful thing to be revived by the Lord. Our daily sacrifice before God must be approved by God. Must be done for the right motives, pure, genuine motives. Daily denial, daily declaration, daily devotion, daily dying. Jesus said, if any man, listen, any man, not only Paul the Apostle, not only the nation of Israel, no, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross weekly, monthly, yearly, daily, and follow me. Did you know there's joy in that? There's true joy, true peace. But you won't know it until you're broken consistently before the Lord every day. So, I read my Bible, I prayed today. No, my friend, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. Reading your Bible, praying is good, but if all you're doing, it's all you're doing, ticking off the box because you just had to do it, and you didn't, and you missed out on what God had for you, you didn't hear his voice, then we might hear the prophet cry out loud. God is looking for that person to be utterly dependent upon him, denying self. You know why he says carry that cross? Beloved, it's hard. It's not easy. Every day saying, shut up to this flesh. Every day being sensitive to do right when you've done wrong. It takes a toll on you, but it's surely good. The inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man perisheth. Perish! Done with you! I'm dead. May God help us be a dead man walking. Daily denial is a what? Daily revival. Let's go before the Lord in prayer.